Welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today I am joined by Kishore Rao, Portfolio Manager, Analyst, Principal, and Member of the Investment Committee at Sustainable Growth Advisors. Kishore, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Joe. Great to talk to you again. Looking forward to our conversation.
Kishore, let's begin by talking about the election and the resulting impact on portfolios over the coming 3, 6, and 9 months. Do you expect to be repositioning any of your portfolios given the results of the election?
Yeah, Joe, I don't think that we're going to make any significant wholesale changes to our portfolio because our approach is all about investing for the long term, finding those companies that can durably, predictably, reliably deliver cash flow growth regardless of political headwinds, macro headwinds, uncertainty, et cetera. But at the margin, you know, based on the outcome of the elections, that could have some impact. Specifically, I'm talking about the resolution of the Georgia Senate races. Could that result in, for example, higher domestic tax rates? Things of that nature could, at the margin, impact us. So we will wait and see, like others, to see how those uncertainties play out.
Do you think that volatility, which has remained historically high, even as markets have recovered and appreciated to new all-time highs, do you expect that volatile environment will remain? And overall, what's your view of the equity market itself, again, on a 3, 6, and 9 month time frame?
I think our view is certainly that that volatility will persist. I mean, we've seen it here in recent days and weeks. The election outcomes are not completely resolved, and as a result, there is a lot of back and forth on various issues such as additional fiscal stimulus. Will that come? What size? When will that come? We still, have the COVID outbreak that continues to rise. Certain states, certain countries, escalating numbers, hospital beds challenged in certain places. So all those are issues. And then, of course, we have the good news on vaccines, at least the headlines, yet we don't really know all the details as to when it will be available. Will there be side effects that will delay the availability of those vaccines? Supply chain issues with refrigeration of the product. So it's a long way of saying, yeah, there's still a lot of wild cards. There's reasons for optimism, but there's a lot of steps that have to be and hurdles that have to be cleared along the way. And so we would expect that volatility will remain quite elevated for some time.
Does that dictate a more of a focus on risk? And with that in mind, are there specific areas of the market that you will be avoiding or are currently avoiding?
You know, in our approach, risk management is always front and center, and that's one of the keys to our particular performance profile and track record, which is participation in rising markets, but superior downside protection, because we'll always have risk at the front and center. And in this particular market, there are some pockets that we think are particularly volatile and uncertain. One corner would be the emerging hyper-growth names that have promising futures but are currently trading on metrics like multiples of revenue. And to us, that type of talk and that type of discussion when companies trade on multiples of revenues rather than earnings and profits suggests there is some froth in particular corners of the market.
That's an important distinction when speaking about growth. I think it's mistaken that we tend to categorize growth overall and not really look, as you said, at what is established growth versus emerging growth. Speak to that, if you could, for a moment, and how it is exactly you and the team look at that distinction between emerging and established growth.
In our discipline, we're looking for companies that have reliable, predictable, visible cash flows and that cash flow is compounding. So we certainly seek and appreciate growth, but we're looking for sustainable growth, as our name suggests. And part of being a sustainable growth company is having cash flows, and that allows one to or a company to weather good times and bad times. When a company doesn't have those cash flows, and that hurdle or that threshold is still on the come, then it's dependent on acquiescent capital markets to support not just the stock price, but the business itself. And so we're looking for companies that have cleared that threshold, that have the cash flows to sustain themselves for the next crisis, whatever that might be, or this crisis, if it endures longer than expected. And so once we've identified those companies that have that sustained growth and that sustained cash flow profile, then we can value them, and then we can own them comfortably and reliably for our clients, and we can all sleep well at night knowing that we're going to, as I said before, participate in the growth of the markets, but protect capital well when shocks inevitably arise.
Sure. Lastly, I want to discuss ESG. Clearly, it is a style, a strategy that has gained significant momentum in 2020. Now that we have some form of clarity on the election outcome, do you think the new administration builds upon the positive momentum for ESG investing? Is there anything about the future that would look to negate some of that momentum? Overall, how do you think about ESG investing?
So I think the new administration, assuming the Biden administration takes its place in office come January, it's probably favorable for ESG investing on a couple levels. One would be the Department of Labor regulations that are currently being debated, whether ESG should be a consideration or not in asset allocation, and the Trump administration is opposed to that. And so that currently is a headwind that might turn into a tailwind, these other non-financial return considerations. And then secondly, of course, is a matter of actual policy and whether the Biden administration will be able to affect any changes in green policies, and that may or may not mean a big green New Deal, but it may be even on simpler things such as tax credits and the like. But that is still, you know, speaks to the earlier conversation about another area of uncertainty, and the Georgia Senate races will play a pivotal role in determining how much support the Biden administration really has and for policy changes. So I think generally we're of the view that ESG is something that's real in large part because consumers and end customers are seeking it and forcing companies to change their behavior. But in the short term, whether the Biden administration can really effectuate change or not, that part of the story is to be determined.
Kishore, I appreciate your time and, as always, your thoughtful insights. For those of you that have joined to listen, thank you for that. And for more information, please visit our website at Virtus.com.